Well, like I said before, my name's Bailey. I'm the worship and creative director here at Seeds, and we are in the middle of this Rocktober series, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. We love doing this as a creative team. We love being able to perform some different songs and, you know, put lots of denim on and sunglasses and all that kind of stuff. And so our first week of the series, we had Rod Dyson preach on the song Shallow by Lady Gaga. That was great. And then last week we had Pete Morton preach on Pride by U2. And my throat is still sore from that one. But that was a great message as well. So if you missed out, would definitely encourage you to have a listen on the podcast. Not right now. Maybe when you get home, that'd be great. I missed the first week. I was in New Zealand with my family, had the best time. We went on a whole bunch of different hikes, and we went to the ski fields, and I snowboarded, and I sucked. I was so bad. I was so determined to prove my family wrong and snowboard, regardless of how many times they said I should ski, and I spent the whole day on my butt, and it was the worst, and I got so angry. And anyway, we did lots of other stuff. We ate lots of burgers and had lots of food, and I also got engaged, which was very exciting. You can see this is me and my lovely fiance Sabrina. Ethan was hiding in the bushes and took this photo. It was really great, so that's very exciting. I'm sure she's getting a little bit sick of telling the story by now, but anyway, that's been me the last couple of weeks, so that's why I missed the first week. But if you've missed any, definitely would encourage catch up on the podcast. You can hear the song in the podcast as well. One thing about traveling that always gets me funny is planes. Does anyone else get funny on planes? Or is it just me and JD? Okay, a few people, that's good. There's something about planes that just really gets me. It's not the actual plane itself, but I have this irrational fear of crashing. That the plane's just going to crash, and every little bit of turbulence, I lose that much more trust in the pilot, and I just can't relax. There's a little bit of a bump, and I can't relax for the next 10 minutes, and then I'll gradually relax, and then another one will happen, and it's the worst. And I always find myself looking at like the flight attendants, and if they're worried, you know you're in trouble. And I hate it when there's people standing up and the seatbelt sign comes on. That gets me really anxious, especially when they're doing like the in-flight service and then the thing comes on and they sort of rush towards the back. And we had one on a flight home where one of the flight attendants like fell onto someone in the aisle row because there was a big bump, and he was like, oh, it's a bit bumpy, isn't it? And I'm just freaking out. I'm like, please sit down, please sit down. So I find myself doing a lot of praying when I'm on a plane. I feel very close to God, both physically and spiritually. I do a lot of praying, and then I go through all the stats in my head. I'm like, okay, so there's a 1 in 11 million chance that this plane is going to crash and I'm going to die. So therefore, I have a high chance of becoming the President of the United States and probably not being impeached, but that's a whole other thing. I also have a higher chance of winning an Olympic gold medal. There's all these different things that come into play that are more likely of happening than that. And so regardless of all these stats, I still feel anxious and worried. But the good thing about getting on a plane is that there's usually some excitement involved in arriving somewhere or coming home from somewhere else. So when we look at this song, Don't Stop Believing by Journey, released in the 80s, very great song, just gets me going. It's a great song. It actually speaks of the opposite. It speaks of these people who are going through life without purpose or meaning, getting on a midnight train, going anywhere. They don't really have a grasp of what they're doing. And I feel like we can do the same too. Sometimes it feels like we're just going through life, going through the motions, and it's really easy for us to just keep turning up to work, keep turning up to uni, keep turning up to school, even though you don't really have a choice when it comes to school. But we keep sort of doing the same thing, and then it's almost the same with church. Sometimes we'll come to church because it's just what we do. We come every week. Sometimes we come because our family's dragged us along and we'd rather be in bed right now. Or maybe someone's invited you and you just didn't want to embarrass them and say no. Or maybe you come to church because you're looking for something far bigger than yourself. Let me tell you something right here. This here, what we're doing today and what we do every week, is really, really special. To be able to come into a place like this and gather with people of like-mindedness, if you like, and to all come and celebrate the same thing, celebrate what God is doing. This is really special, and you don't really get this anywhere else. So, if you're here today, and maybe you would rather be in bed right now, you are here for a reason, and you're here for a purpose. So, we were created to be in relationship with one another, what we call the human connection. It's probably one of the hardest things we can do as people, but it's also one of the most meaningful things. What I think is true about us as humans is that we've actually figured out how to do isolation really well. We've figured out how to be able to retract in ourselves really well, but we're still sort of figuring out how to do community. And community is something that is so common. We find it everywhere. You have your community at work, and you have your group of people at work, that's your tribe and whatnot, and then you have your community at school or your community at uni or all that kind of thing. And you also have it at a place called a gym. And maybe you're here. Does anyone have a gym membership and you're willing to admit it? Jordy Patterson, do you have a gym membership? That's awesome. Twice a week? Okay. Put your hands up again if you have a gym membership. Keep your hand up if you use it. Okay, quite a few people. That's good. You can put your hands down. Thank you for admitting that. There's a stat that Australians spend $1.8 billion a year on gym memberships that they do not use. $1.8 billion. Imagine how many new sets of curtains we could get with that. That's amazing. That would be amazing. They'd be the best curtains ever. See, community isn't just a church thing, it's a human thing, and we long to be a part of a community that's bigger than ourselves. A couple of months ago, I went over to Melbourne, again, plane freaking out, but I went to a concert, and it was at a small venue in Melbourne called Margaret Court Arena, and it was a sold-out show for this band from the States, and the target audience, or the fan base for the band, is just teenage girls. Like, just full of teenage girls. They love, it's pop music, and so there's, you know, lyrics about breakups and all that kind of stuff. But the band came out, and the whole arena, sold-out show, went nuts. They were going crazy. There were girls, like, climbing on the barrier at the front. They're throwing roses on the stages. They've got signs. They've got all this stuff, and they're going nuts. And through the whole show, they're singing these songs, and they're singing along, and everyone's dancing. And it was a great time, and I sort of just stood at the back and watched it and loved it, and it was great. And it was really funny because everyone was so connected. Everyone was so a part of the same thing. They were watching the same band, loving the music. And then the show finished and everyone left and that was sort of it. There wasn't anything else to it. And people were outside and, you know, trying to get Ubers and all that kind of stuff. And there was no more of that connection. And it was funny the next day, coming back home and coming to church, and it's almost, you could see it as kind of similar. You have a band on the stage and we sing songs together, but the purpose is entirely switched. The focus isn't on who's up on the platform and we're not screaming and yelling and have signs and stuff for the people up here, but we are passionate about something that is so much bigger than that, which is Jesus, and that's God. And that is what is special about church. But I wonder, what a tragedy it would be if people came into our doors and experienced this incredible community, but then an hour later when the service is done and we all go home, they're back to isolation, back by themselves. There is no choice more essential than coming into relationship with Jesus and then joining together in a community of people who believe the same thing. Do this and you will watch how it brings fruit to your life. There's a couple of passages that I want us to have a look at today, and we're going to look at two different stories of how people in the Bible experience community and how it brings them to Jesus. So our first story is from Mark chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, if you have your phone, I encourage you to get it out. If not, it'll be on the vinyl up there. So from Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So here we enter this moment where Jesus has sort of started to do his ministry. And this is Mark chapter 2, so this is really early on. And some people have started to hear about what he's doing, and so they fill a house. And there's so many people in the house that they have to spill outside. And then it says that there's no room, not even outside the door. So then these men come, and they're bringing their friend, and they've heard about what Jesus can do, and they've got their paralyzed friend, and they're like, we need to get this guy to Jesus. And so they come up to the house and see that it is full. There are so many people there. So the obvious next step to get into the house is to dig a hole through the roof. Clearly. That, I don't know if you've ever thought about that when you've got a really long line in front of you, just thinking, maybe if I just dug a hole in the above this checkout, I could get in. It just doesn't really make sense. But these guys are so consumed with care and compassion for their friend, believing that Jesus would come through for them. Now, if you don't know what community looks like, it looks like when you care more about someone else than you do for yourself. Doing absolutely anything for your friends. See, when these friends go and bring their friend to Jesus, they're not in it for personal gain. They're not going there to find something for themselves, but they're doing whatever it takes to get their friend face-to-face to Jesus and let Jesus do the rest. There is power in community. The story goes on, and Jesus does what Jesus does, and it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus is able to heal this guy because of the courage of his friends, and they did whatever they could to get this man to Jesus. So this is one example of a sense of community in the Bible. We're going to look at the flip side of that now. We're going to go to Luke chapter 8. And so this is quite later in Jesus' ministry. It's chapter 8, so there's been four chapters in between. Six plus two is eight. Anyway, this is the book of Luke. And Jesus is on his way to a man named Jairus' home. And he was going there because Jairus had begged Jesus to come to his house as his daughter was dying. And so at this point, many people had heard about Jesus now, and it's gotten bigger than just a house full of people, but it's this massive crowd. It says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Other translations say that she had spent all her money on doctors. Basically, this woman, she was an outcast. She not only was unwell, but she was poor. And she was also a woman. And in first century Jewish culture, women were usually treated as second-class citizens, and they were not given the rights that men had. So she was sick, she was poor, and she was already an outcast in society. So Jesus is walking through this crowd, getting crushed, and there's this woman who's sick. And in verse 44, it says, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. I find it really interesting here that two verses before this one, it makes a point to say that Jesus is getting crushed by the crowd. I don't know if you've ever been to a concert like I was at, but you know when you want to like either move out of the crowd or you want to move forward, it's kind of simple to be able to find your way because people are in groups. So you can find your way around the edges of groups and you do a few polite excuse me's and whatnot. And then you might get to those few people that are like, we are standing here, we are not moving. And they link arms and they do not let anyone through. That's how I imagine this crowd to be. This crowd is so thick that it is crushing Jesus and his friends. But this woman is able to get through. She's so desperate to get through, pushing past people, calling out, doing whatever she could do to get to Jesus. I don't think there would have been a few polite excuse me's or step arounds of groups or anything, but she was desperate to find Jesus. And as she took one final step, she reached out and she touched the edge of Jesus' cloak and she fell and she was consumed into the crowd. At this point, Jesus stops in his tracks and he asks the crowd, "Who touched me?" I love this bit. And Peter replies, when they had all denied it, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you," pretty much like, bro, there are so many people touching you right now, and you think someone's touched you? How's that going for you? Like, it's just funny how he responds like that. And Jesus replies, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. In another translation, it says, she declared, I was desperate to touch you, Jesus. For if I knew I could just touch even the edge of your robe, I would be healed. And then Jesus responds with this, beloved daughter, your faith in me has released your healing. You may go with my peace. I love this story in contrast to the other one because it actually shows that Jesus can show up for anyone. You don't have to have a tribe of people that is going to pull you through everything, but for this woman who was isolated, she was on the outside of her community. She had no one, she had nothing, but she was just desperate to get to Jesus, and Jesus showed up for her. You see, with this story, she tears herself away from her isolation that she's experiencing and literally forces her way to get to Jesus. She's no longer longing to be an outcast, no longer longing to be sick. And as she's going through, as she is going through this crowd, there would have been so many things going through her mind. But each step that she took was so crucial to the story. If she had stopped halfway, she wouldn't have seen the ending. If she had never left where she was, she wouldn't have seen results. But she kept taking those steps. Made it to Jesus. So let me tell you today, if you're here and you're just feeling like you can't see hope, you feel like there's nothing going for you, I want to encourage you to take that first step. Because each step you take is so crucial to your story. For that woman, it would have been, this crowd is enormous, but don't stop believing. This crowd is consuming people. Don't stop believing. This house is full of people. There's not room outside. Dig a hole in the roof. I feel so alone. I feel by myself. Don't stop believing. Take a step towards Jesus, because then you will see every step you take how far you've come. Every step is crucial to your story. God is worth taking those steps for. God is worth fighting for. Because if God can come through for this woman and this man who is brought towards him, then there is no reason that God can't come through for you. I want to invite the team up. You guys are crushing it today. This story in Luke, it goes on, and Jesus continues to travel, and he goes to this man's house to find the daughter had passed away. People around were crying and mourning for the loss of the daughter, so Jesus just simply takes her by the hand and tells her to get up. And surely enough, she wakes up, and she is restored to life. And then we see again later in the Bible, we see this same man who taught so many, who healed so many, die as well. And Jesus was put on the cross and he died for each and every one of us, died for our sins to save us. And then 3 days later, he rose again. He was dead and he came back to life. Now this shows me one thing. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, if Jesus can simply take a girl by the hand and say, wake up, if God can raise someone from the dead, then there is absolutely no reason why God does not have the power to manage us while we are still alive. God is incredibly powerful. And you might feel like you're struggling and you might feel like it is hard, but there is nothing that is bigger than our God. So if you're struggling, if you're feeling isolated, there is no doubt in my mind that God will come through for you. Just remember that each step is crucial to your journey. Step towards Jesus and see how far you'll go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for how you're speaking to us in this moment. And God, we know that there's some things that can happen and it's hard to see how you can come through. But God, we see in the Bible that you would come through for anyone, for the least of these, God. And Lord, we want to declare this morning that there is no issue, no problem that is greater than you. Lord, we trust you. We know you're faithful.